좋습니다. 맞아요. This is a quotation of Hazrat Ji Mullah Nasirullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. کہ شیخ کو سراسر زبان ہونا چاہیے اور مرید کو کان. The شیخ he must be a tongue and the مرید must be an ear. Hazrat says that in some places he notices that the Shaykh remains silent. So this method he disapproves of. The method that he approves of is that the Shaykh must be a tongue. In other words, he must instruct, he must teach, he must guide all the time, right through. One person came to a Buzurg. So the Buzurg understood that he was the minister of the king. So he asked, how's the temperament of the king? How's the king? How's he keeping? So the minister replied that I spent my entire life answering questions about how's the king. I thought I'll come here and I'll dedicate myself to Allah Ta'ala. But I come here and here also they ask me about the king. So the Buzurg replied, I asked you about the king just out of consideration, just to make you feel comfortable. You come here now, so to create a little bit of an acquaintance and for some consideration. But now that you are on the cause, now there is no need for you to, for me to continue creating acquaintance and compatibility. You have already got the compatibility. So the murid comes, he comes with this frame of mind. I've come now to understand, to take guidance, to take counsel, and when the murid has come with this frame of mind, then he must be alert. In everything, in every situation, every circumstance, he must be quite alert. The reason is, the Shaykh is not permanent. He is not here to last. Right? And nor can the murid be in the company of the Shaykh all the time. He'll be here for a few days and he's gone. And the thing that instructs him and guides him afterwards is the instruction that he received from the Shaykh. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayh, whilst he was leaving the airport in his last safar, so he asked one very strange question. His questions, the instruction was given in a very, very unique way. Very unique way, something practical, something that you can relate. So he asks, who brings honor and respect to the Shaykh? So those that were around, they said, it's obvious it is those that receive instruction. In other words, the students, the murids, they bring honor. And then he asks, and who brings disgrace to the Shaykh? Same, those students or those murids that are around. Like a father, then who brings disgrace or who brings respect to him? It is the children that will bring the honor to the father, or it will be those same children that will bring the disgrace and that embarrassment to that father. And this will apply not only to a Shaykh, but to everything, to an institute, to a madrasa. Who is the one that brings the respect? It is the student. And then who is the one that brings the disgrace and embarrassment? It is the student again. Right? So they either bring that respect and dignity to the institute, to the madrasa, to the peer, or to the father, or they either bring that disgrace, that insult, that embarrassment to the parent, to the sheikh, to the institute, to whatever. So when it is that student, that murid, that will bring that respect, or he'll bring that disgrace, then he needs to understand first why he's come. See, once the mind is clear and the mind is open, then it's easy to continue. One person came to Thanabon, so Hazrat Mawlana asked him, "What you've come for?" Right. Now the reason for Mawlana's interrogation, it would seem like interrogation, but the reason for him having this type of an approach is to make the person focused, to create focus in him, to create a tabiat, a temperament of being attentive, not being neglectful. Every small thing that he sees and he understands, he hears, now he needs to pay attention to it. So Mawlana would start this and commence this from the very beginning. And the reason for this was that he would feel that the person has come after so much of pain, so much of difficulty. Let him not go back empty-handed. If he's going back, let him go with something. But he'll go back if he's focused, if he's attentive. The words of Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sabrahullah Allah used to be, طلب صدق مع الفكر. طلب صدق مع الفكر. You've got an earnest desire. You've come here and you've come earnestly with an earnest desire to learn, right? To seek something. So it's a sincere urge and a sincere desire to seek, but with accompanied with a little bit of fikr, with concern. It's a sincere urge to seek, but with that fikr. It mustn't be just a urge to seek. It must be an urge to seek with fikr, with a concern with fikr. Now what is he doing at this occasion? What did he say now? Have I grasped the concept? Have I understood what he's saying? The direction that he's taking me to? Have I understood the concept? Otherwise, if there isn't that fikr, then the year passes and you haven't acquired that which what you're supposed to be searching. So Allah asked him, "What do you come for?" So he says, "I came for Islam." Allah asked him then, "And whose Islam you came for? Whose Islam you came for?" So now he spoke up, he says, "No, I've come for my Islam. I asked you to create that alertness, that you become aware of what you've come for here. You've come for Islam, then see that you remain focused." And Hazrat used to speak like this, not to amuse himself or to amuse the person that came. No, it wasn't in any cinema or any show that he was making this. He was speaking like this for genuine reasons. One woman came there to one of Hazrat's family's homes, residence. So she came up with a complaint that certain auntie came with a child and that child had a doll, right? And Hazrat did not notify her that this is wrong, to keep a doll, to keep something that is animate, something that is animate, to keep it, then it's not permissible, not right. And Hazrat did not bring it to her attention. So Hazrat learnt about it, Hazrat says, first of all, it is a woman. And the child is accompanying her mother. Now, how am I to know who's come and what she's brought with? What has she brought with? How am I to know that? Because everything is happening behind the parda. She's got the child and the child has got a doll. And then how do I know who came in and what they have come with? Number one. Number two, then I want to know from you, that you came for your Islah, or you came to make the Islah of my families. So if I know you came for this purpose, then I will tell my family, take your Islah from her. See, you set the record straight from the very beginning. Now, you're going midway and then you're setting the record straight, that is not right. But now you've come for this purpose, you come to correct or rectify, then you set the record straight from the very beginning. So these people, their whole outlook and their whole nazriya, the whole theory or the whole understanding was that this person that comes, he must come focused, he must come with fikr, with concern. And the reason why this focus has to be created is that he is not just learning one, two concepts, you see. This khanqah is not just learning one, two concepts. If you learn two concepts, you learn, you go to a business meeting, alright, there's some business meeting, they're launching some product, so you learn it more or less what they are launching and you go and advertise it. No, that's not the idea here. Here is a different thing, totally different thing. You need to now dye yourself into that color. You need to absorb yourself into the color of the Shaykh. That now the colors that you had, that color must all just drop away, and you dye yourself in the color of the Shaykh. Right? The outlook that you had, that outlook must just drop away by the side, and now your outlook is changed totally. See, there's one of two ways. One way is the Shaykh conforms with everybody's ways and styles. Now that is difficult, because everybody, to conform with everybody, is difficult. He's got a different temperament, he's got a different nature, he's got a different outlook. So to be able to conform to everybody is difficult. But yes, yet it is possible that others try and adjust themselves to his temperament. Right? This way is quite difficult. How many people are coming and going all the time? So to be able to conform to everybody is difficult. But for those people that are coming, it's easy for them to try and conform to one way. Right? Okay. So now, we are not just talking about learning one, two concepts and going away. No. But to conform with the whole mindset. Mindset, how is this person's mindset? How is he thinking? What is his reasoning? That is why Hazrat used to say, Rahmatullah used to say, that when you come here, then you didn't just come to learn to make one, two zikrs or tasbihat. No, not for that. Then what have you come for then? You haven't just come to learn one, two zikr. No. Lekin yahan aaye hue ho, zauk ko paida karne ke liye. If you were to learn one, two zikr, you could have done that at home as well. You could have learned that one, two zikrs, etc. at home. But then what have you come here for? So he says, asal seekhne ki cheez hai, unka zauk. In English you will translate it as his taste. What is his taste? What is his inclinations? How does he look at things? What is the taste of the Shaykh? The Sahaba Kiram, they are sitting in the khidmat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what they are learning? They are learning total surrender and submission. In the morning, we came across that incident. Rasulullah Paksam addressed the Sahaba Kiram, sit down. Right? And whoever is sitting, whoever is at whichever place, and he sits down. Someone is in the first serf, he's sitting down in the first serf. Someone in the second, in the third. Wherever he is, immediately on listening to Rasulullah Paksam, he's sitting down straight away. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'anhu, he is outside the masjid, near the shoes. And he sits down at the entrance. Right? Do you see now this type of outlook, this type of mindset? That we must conform totally to the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We need to color ourselves in that color. Whether it's minute, whether it's major, whatever it is. We need to just surrender. Nothing else. We need to just surrender to that color. Now, what is the catalyst in all this? They heard this from the Sulaib Asam, immediately they sat down. But what was the catalyst? What prompted them to behave in this way? The thing that prompted them to behave in this way, it comes in another hadith, that Rasulullah had relieved himself, right? And before he reached the water, he made tayammum. So one Sahabi suggested that the water is near. Al-ma'u minka qareebun. The water is nearby. So Rasulullah says, I don't know that death will get me before this. Perhaps before I can reach the water to make wuzu, death may overtake me. And I will obviously dislike meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not in the state of wuzu. So there I'm in the need of wuzu, and straight away there I'm taking tayammum so that I am in the state of taharat. Right? Obviously, to perform namaz, etc., you will take wuzu. But tayammum is like a substitute. It's a substitute for wuzu. So I will, even for that small duration, I will not remain out of wuzu. I will be in the state of wuzu. So what is the catalyst? The catalyst that is that readiness, preparedness. This is the theme. Now, you will find thereafter that the muhaddiseen, they also behave exactly the same. In that zamana, it wasn't such. Okay, they were learning and postponing practicing for some other date. Like how we say, alright, now we came across all the hadiths, and practicing it in application, we will do it at some later date. Now let us learn it first. The application will be done later on. It was totally different for them. Their style was they are learning and they are applying it. They are learning it and they are applying it immediately. That's why Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah says that I haven't narrated any hadith until I practiced it myself. I practiced it, then I narrated. I practiced it and then I narrated. See? Famous muhaddis Yahya ibn Ma'in rahmatullah alayhi, and someone goes to learn some hadith from him, or he learns some hadith from his ustad. So the ustad says that the hadith is recorded in such and such kitab. So the student requests that he can listen to the hadith directly from the kitab. As the ustad is speaking, is standing up to reach the kitab, the student says, read the hadith to me first, and then you can read it to me from the kitab. You recite the hadith first to me now, and then you may recite it from the kitab. Perhaps in the interim you may just pass away, and I will be left with the regret for the rest of my life that I was deprived of listening to this hadith from your Mubarak lips. So I want to hear it directly, and then I will thereafter listen, and I will hear it from the kitab as well. But you see that mindset. Now this is called zawq. This is called the taste. See? What would have Rasulullah done had he been now here? What would he have been? What would his outlook be? How would he have behaved? How would he have conducted himself? How would this morning be? How would his evening be? So to try and understand that manshaf the nubuwwat. Now this is where we go wrong. That kullu hizbin bima ladayhim farihun. We grab at something and we sing, oh, this is the thing, and forget the rest, I will do this. I don't say that this is not virtuous, it is virtuous. Someone got some tasbih is carrying on. Someone got some nafil namaz is carrying on. Someone has got some tilawat who is doing that is carrying on, continuing. But the right thing and the best thing and the most appropriate thing is to get it complete, get the complete picture. Get the whole picture of Rasulullah, how he behaved, how he conducted himself, how did he do each moment of his Mubarak life, how was it conducted. You got something and you left out some, then you haven't got the complete. And like I said that the Shaykh won't be here permanently, the Sahaba Ikram also knew that Rasulullah will be with us. خُذُوا مِنِّي or خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ لَعَلِّي لَا أَرَاكُمْ بَعْدَ عَمِي بَعْدَ عَمِيكُمْ هَذَا. Rasulullah notified the Sahaba Ikram that maybe I don't see you coming here, so learn the rituals of Hajj now. Learn the rituals of Hajj now. I may not see you again. So he kept the Sahaba Ikram all alert, all focused. You're coming and you're learning the small things. Small things, big things. Every minute thing, don't consider it to be minute. See? Now they're looking, all the Sahaba Ikram, they're watching and observing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where did he start his ihram from? Right? Where did he put on his ihram from? So the minutest detail, and then where did he recite Labbaik, in which occasion? Which occasion the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited the Labbaik? So all these things, they want to know about it. And they're observing, because they know that this may be the last Hajj. And Hajj is an obligation, is a farz of Islam. And when maybe we don't get an opportunity to get the next Hajj with Rasulullah, now what do? We rather just be alert every second, every moment. What is he saying? What did we learn from him here? What did we learn from him here on this occasion? So I come back to the same statement about her made. So who's the one that brings disgrace to the Shaykh? And who's the one that brings the praise to the Shaykh? Obviously, it is the student, it is the murid. How does he behave? What does he take from here? When people will slander, they will slander, yeah, this is what you learned in the madrasa. This is what your Shaykh teaches you. This is how they speak. Don't they speak like this? So, he is a reflection of the Shaykh himself. Or he is a reflection of the madrasa. This is how people will slander you. And if the behavior is right, the conduct is right, then say, oh, mashallah, he's come from that institute, he's come from the madrasa, he came from that Shaykh. Or this is the son of so-and-so, look at his behavior, mashallah. What beautiful behavior. An identical replica of his father. Don't they say that? So the thing to be obtained is the zawq, this fine taste, to understand what is the taste, what is the temperament. Two people, they had made safar from India to Balkh. Balkh is in Afghanistan, far away. So you can imagine now, maybe at least 1,000 kilometers or something in that zamana. Nizamuddin Balkhi Rahmatullahi Zamana. That's approximately 250-300 years ago, when there was no modes of transport that we have today. No train, no bus, no car, whatever. 250-300 years ago when they travelled 1,000 kilometers. How expensive it must have been, what provision they need to take to travel 1,000 kilometers, what difficulties they're going through. Now they come here to the masjid, and one person is saying to his sati, those two satis that travelled, one is saying to his sati, whilst they're taking wuzu at the hose, one is saying to the other that our hose in India is much bigger than this hose that is here. Now the Shaykh overheard this. So the Shaykh asked them both, go back to India and go and measure the hose and then come back. Now they went. Imagine now, 1,000 kilometers they have travelled. They're going 1,000 kilometers backwards. And they come back again 1,000 kilometers. 3,000 already. And they measure it and they found it to be one hand span bigger. Now they're happy, they're excited about the whole thing. And they come back and say, Hazrat, it's one hand span bigger. So he told them, see, in the usage, when we talk, right? So we don't say that that hose is far bigger than this one. If it's only one hand span bigger, then we don't say that is far bigger than this one. Understand? You people said that is far bigger than this one. Whereas it's only one hand span bigger. Right? And in the usage, in Urf, when we speak, we don't say it's far bigger. If it was, you know, double the size or something, then you will say, no, it's far bigger. But if it's just one hand span, then you don't say it's far bigger than this one. So it seems that aapke kalam mein ihtiyat nahi. That you're not cautious about your speech. You're not cautious about your speech. So you go back now. Hazrat Imam Tawish should relate this incident. And then he would say that it would have seemed to us that the Shaykh or the Peer was a little bit too hard on this murid. So that's not the idea. That's not the reason. He sent him back not for this. Then why did he send him? There's two basic reasons why this person sent him. See? See, the Quran Sharif says, فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. Two places in the Quran Sharif. Fear Allah Ta'ala and speak straight. Fear Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and speak straight. Right. Most of the jagras and most of the problems and quarrels come about because of ambiguous, unclear speech. I imagined him to say this. I thought this is what he was referring to. I guessed this is what he was speaking about. So it's ambiguous speech. It's not speech that is absolutely clear, right? So most of the jagra, most of the fights come about. Why? They come about for this reason. We were reading this morning. A person came to Hazrat. And Hazrat asked him, as he came, he sat down. Hazrat asked him, by what have you come for? You got any work? Then I will attend to your work. So no, I just came for mulaqat. I haven't come for any work. And I'll ask him again, by tell me please if there's any work. After a lot of time had passed, then he eventually said, no, just I had some work. So then I'll ask him, by I asked you in the first place that what have you come for? What work have you come for? Then why did you say it at that time? That you have come for some work? So he says, no, I thought I will speak to you at when I am at ease. I will speak to you when I am at ease. So that says, now see, there's two problems. One problem is this, that you considered your ease and you're not considered of my ease. I asked you what you came for. Is there any work that I may attend to? If there's no work, you're sitting down. I know you've just come to sit down to listen to the majlis, whatever it is. So my mind is clear, your mind is clear. So you considered your ease and you didn't consider my ease. Whereas you come for your work. Number one, that's the first problem. Now the second problem is this. Now how must I understand which statement of yours was right? The first statement that I haven't come for any work, or the statement that you made now, that no, I have come for some work. Now which statement must I consider that this is the true statement? So you see, you have created a confusion. Understand? So most of this confusion, this complications, quarrels do come about because of unclear speech. You don't say truly, correctly, precisely what's your intention. You're saying something and you're doing something. Saying something and you're doing something, that's where the problems come about. Whether it is an employer-employee relationship, whether it is a wife and a husband relationship, whatever relationship, but you're not clear. When you're not clear, then that person feels that you are misleading him. You are deceiving him. And when he feels that you are deceiving him, then he feels hurt. Then even though he wanted to be of help to you, of some assistance to you, but then he wonders, why this person has deceived me? Why has he misled me? So most of the problems that we have is because of this. Ambiguity, not clear speech. Right. And in order to be clear in the speech, to get clear speech, there are three things, three requirements. One is your intention is right. Right. When you're speaking with the person, your intention is right. What is your intention? Niyat kya hai. Right. One person came to us, Mohammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, and he gave a small gift. Right. 2 rupees or whatever it is. So he accepted it. Now he's sitting down there, and after some time, he says to her, "Oh, sajara pajara mujhe bhi de dete." You made other people, you gave them ijazat and you made them khalifas, etc. You could have honored me with that khilafat as well. So he was a little bit moved. And then he asked, but that gift you gave me that gift for the same reason. He said, yeah, I gave it for the same reason. No, then you take it back. The two rupees, you take it back. See, the intention is something else, and the front is something else. Now it's creating a confusion. But the villager himself, he was true about it. He came out clearly. I came with this intention that I'll give you the 2 rupees, and I'll ask you for khilafat. So, take your 2 rupees and go away. So for the speech to be right, There are three components. One is your intention must be right. What's your intention? Leave, let alone the path of Allah Ta'ala, you want to connect yourself with the path of Allah Ta'ala, that's the greatest thing. There isn't anything greater, right? Even if the girl that you are proposing, if she discovers that you proposed to her or you married her because of your father's wealth, of her father's wealth, see? You proposed to her or you married her for her father's wealth. Then the old man is now on his way out and this is the only daughter, so everything will come to us, see? So if she discovered that this man doesn't really like me, but he got married because of this convenience, then that love, that muhabbat is gone. Khalas, no muhabbat after that. So this is what you were after, this is what you were aiming for. So the first component is the intention. What's the intention? The second thing is this, that your approach must be right. Even though your intention is right, and you are saying something that is right, but your approach must be right. You're calling someone to eat, for example. So, you can call him in a very aggressive style. Come in, you know, you're a hawk, come and eat, man. Or you are good at eating, you know, it's a respectable guest. People are very good at eating, come and eat. Right? So, the man is good at eating, but do you call him, is this the approach? Not the approach. You have the right approach. One is the intention must be right, and then the approach must be right. Though what you are speaking may be the right thing, but let your approach be good, welcoming, soft, kind, good approach. You are saying the right thing. You're not saying wrong. What you're talking about, that he likes food or he likes food. I say, yeah, you are good at eating, come and eat. Now how does he feel? What does this man feel of me? Alright, if I am good at eating, that's my business. But can he come and call me like this? Can he address me like this? So, for the speech to be right, three things are required. One is that your intention is right. Number two, your approach is right. And number three, the substance is also right. The information that you are passing on, that must also be right. There mustn't be any loose end in that information that you are giving. There mustn't be anything wrong of a doubtful or suspicious nature. So if these three components are found, then you'll find qawla sadid. The Quran is speaking of qawla sadid. Speak straight. If you acquaint yourself, if you, you know, accustom yourself to straight speech, then for you to adopt taqwa will be very easy. But if your speech is not right, you don't have these three components in your speech. Intention is wrong, or your approach is wrong, or the substance that you give, what you're giving across is not right, right? Then you will not get straight speech. And when there is not straight speech, then for you to be able to obtain and enjoy taqwa will also be difficult. You won't get taqwa. So if you want taqwa, then let your speech be straight. Once your speech is straight, then you'll get taqwa. And once you got taqwa, then use Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. See? So this was the first thing that Hazrat Nizamuddin Balkhi rahmatullahi wanted to impress upon these people. That now they are already traveling 4,000 kilometers from India to Balkh, Balkh to India, again third time, now they're going back. They're 4,000 kilometers. 4,000 kilometers hame kaatna para. Lekin kya sabak sikha? Ye sabak sikha ke sahi baat kaho. Have a straight tongue. So we learned a lesson, and a lesson for the life. It's not just a lesson for that moment. That lesson that you learned for the moment is also great, alright? You learned a lesson for that moment, that going to the toilet with the left foot, right? That's a great thing. It's a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and a very great thing. Right? You can't look down upon any sunnah, otherwise you'll go out of the pale of Islam just now. But now this is a great lesson, a very great lesson, that your speech must be straight. Because most of the problems, fights, feuds, quarrels all happen because of incorrect speech, ambiguous speech, wrong intentions. So now that they're going back, they're thinking for themselves, by, you know, one is we learn taqwa, right? And number two, we'll be out of trouble's way, inshallah. Now we'll be in business, we'll be out of trouble's way. Someone asked, dood mein paani mila hai? Dood mein paani mila hai. We added water to the milk, right? So there won't be problems, there won't be fights. Why? Our approach is right. Our intentions are right. And the way we conduct ourselves, the substance that we pass, is also right. Information and disseminating information is important. I remember when we were studying in Deoband, and there was an incident that took place in Durban somewhere. I think it was Sparks Road. Abdul Hannan Sahib, he was hit or whatever it was. Many years ago, 76, 77. And at that time, his two sons were studying in Deoband. Now, some person received a telephone or something, and he went and told those two sons of Abdul Hannan Sahib that your father passed away. Whereas he got a hiding, alright, that was in its place. But they went and gave that information that father passed away. Now, those children phoned home, Bihar, whatever. There's all gabrat, all parishani going on. Then they somehow, in that zamana, this telephone facility was not so easily available everywhere. So with some difficulty or something, after a week or so, they managed to contact home. Then the home, they took another 3-4 days to get to a telephone booth. Now they contacted South Africa, what happened? No, I'm fine, nothing wrong. But you see the parishani that came in between. Now this was because of not investigating, not seeing that the information is thorough. When your information is thorough and you pass it on, then people will have confidence in what you are saying. They won't say that this man speaks and he speaks out of his pocket. He is not a man of responsibility. We can't trust him. We don't have any confidence in him. See? Then you cry, no, people don't have trust in me. They don't have that confidence, the degree of confidence in me. But where is this stemming from? It's stemming from yourself, that you behaved in this manner, therefore they don't have that type of confidence and trust in you. But if you were in the habit of scrutinizing, understanding correctly, etc., etc., you had Qawl al-Sadeed in you, then you wouldn't have had this problem. See the type of confusion that you created right through. Bihar, you created confusion. In the madrasa, you created confusion. People already started making khatam and all that. Everything happened. See? So, this what is obtained by the mashayikh is this zawq, the true taste. See, the one I showed you just now, the true taste was fikr, concern. Now you've come here, you come for your islah, you come for your reformation, you come for your correction. The second thing you learn about correct taste is that you be straightforward in your speech. You don't be ambiguous. Don't be unclear, don't mislead, and don't deceive people. See? Now, aren't they great things? They are great things. But this thing, it doesn't just come across to you. You won't just get it straight away. Until you don't go through the mill, you don't go through that, and you try and absorb, you try and understand it, comprehend it, put it into your system. Now you say, acha, now I think I have understood the concept, and the concept, I know how to apply it. Once you have learnt it, but do you know how to apply it? You learned the driver's manual, but does that mean that you have become a driver? You learned all the different strokes of swimming, but does that mean that you became a swimmer? No, you learned about it. That's one thing. But now apply that. So you learned about truth, about being honest, about not deceiving and misleading. Now try and apply that. Try and digest that within yourself. That's the even greater thing. One is to learn about it and one is to apply it. That greater thing is to apply it. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.